What a privilege it is to give tribute to Pastor Frost, a man who I highly esteem. The greatest thing that could be said about a man is that he is a Christian. And truly, Brother Frost is a Christian. The Word of God tells us He will give us pastors after His own heart. And what a gift God gave in this pastor. A man of God that will receive a message from God and then pass it to the church without fear or favor is more precious than fine gold. I have known Pastor Frost for over 30 years. I have known him as a teacher, employer, mentor, friend, and most importantly, as a pastor. The Word of the Lord tells us we have many teachers, but not many fathers. Pastor Frost has been a father to me. In time of personal tragedy, he has been there for me. It is not a question of, will you come? He said, I'm on my way. As a mentor, any wisdom and understanding I have learned, I learned at the feet of this man. I have watched him when life was not fair, and many misunderstood him, and through it all, he has been a man of integrity. What has impressed me the most is the balance that I see in him. Pastor Frost is the most balanced person I have ever known. He loves to laugh, is not afraid to cry. He will chastise and then strive to heal that which is hurt. Brother Terry passed the torch to Brother Frost at a time that was right. Through his ministry, the church in Bakersfield has seen tremendous growth. The development of property on West Columbus, with the new sanctuary, new school buildings, a park for families, has fulfilled a dream of both Pastor Frost and Elder Terry. First Pentecostal Church has been blessed with men of vision and the ability to see that vision become a reality. The messages that you will hear in this tribute were born in a shepherd's heart and delivered with the anointing of the Holy Ghost.
Ever I felt the confidence of Jesus, I feel Him here tonight. Jeremiah, the 22nd chapter, starting with the 10th verse, said, Weep ye not for the dead, neither bemoan him, but weep sore for him that goeth away, for he shall return no more nor see his native country. For thus saith the Lord, touching Shalem, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, which reigned instead of Josiah his father, which went forth out of his place. He shall not return thither any more. But he shall die in the place whither they have laid him captive, and shall see this land no more. Woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness, and his chambers by wrong. Malachi, the 2nd chapter, the 13th verse, And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receiveth it with goodwill at your hand. Philippians, the 3rd chapter, and the 18th verse. Philippians 3:18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross. Once again, let me read these scriptures to you. Weep ye not for the dead, neither bemoan him, but weep sore for him that goeth away, for he shall return no more, nor see his native country. But he shall die in the place whither they have led him captive, shall see this land no more. Woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness, and his chambers by wrong. This have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears and with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receiveth it with goodwill at your hand. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. I asked Brother Shockley if he would ask the Lord to have his way tonight. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. The holy quietness of the Lord gives witness to me that what the Lord has placed on my heart, I will endeavor to deliver in the spirit, love, and meekness that He has given it to me. I must say again that I did not expect this type of service after the feeling in the presence of the Lord that we have felt at the conference so mightily in the presence of the Lord. But my soul is troubled tonight. I had someone tell me not long ago, a good friend of ours, not a member of this church, but she said, there's one thing I cannot stand, and that's a singing preacher or a weeping preacher. I cannot help but weep tonight in the presence of the Lord. I don't know whether you feel what I feel in God tonight, but I believe He's here. Do you believe He's here? Will you let God work with you tonight in the Spirit? Scriptures that I have read to you are very weighty scriptures, very heavy scriptures, very strong scriptures. Not altogether by accident did I find them. A portion of this I have had on my heart for a very, very long time. It seems as though the Lord began to deal with me as the day rolled on today. It was time to deliver this. I will do my best. I will not be sermonizing tonight. I will be delivering the burden of my heart. There's nothing greater than preaching under the anointing and presence of the Lord. Nothing more powerful or sweet or blessed. There's a certain fearfulness in my heart tonight that unless we somehow touch Calvary, there's lives tonight that are without the King. I am not the best at delivering myself in tears. I only want you to yield yourself to the Lord. Something about weeping that you can talk about it and never weep. There are times that you can wish that you could weep, but you can't weep. And even tonight I wish almost that I could dry for a little bit to deliver what I have in my heart, but the Lord has placed it there and we'll deliver it. We ask God to help us. The needs of human beings in the world today are many. The need of the world today is many. But not like us for our own children and our own loved ones. I believe if you ever want to see a loved one saved, you need to go weeping to their door. Weeping to their door. Weeping to their door. We really don't believe the hour that we live. We really don't. We really don't believe that we are 2,000 years from Calvary and a very definite change in time in the history of God dealing with man. I do not realize it like I really would like to realize it, and I wish that I could carry this burden to the doors that I have knocked on lately. I don't know why God doesn't give it to us, because the Scripture said, he that goeth bearing precious seed, weeping, shall doubtless return bringing their sheaves with them. Oh, I wish this place was full of sinners. I wish the house was full of people that was hungry for good old-time salvation, old-time repentance, laying aside completely of the world. Oh, church, there is nothing today that is worth messing around with or playing with in God. There is nothing in the world that is worth a young person toying with today or an older person playing with God today. We are not in a time in history to ever think that God's coming is slack and that He will not come. We're at a time where we have to recognize things are taking shape very, very rapidly. But there are those that are leaving us today. There are those that are slipping from the very grasp of God, even as I preach tonight. I almost preached last week and didn't quite get into it because I felt like it was late and I didn't really get into it and probably wasted time by not doing it. Within our very confines of our services are those that are lingering and toying and playing with God, and it troubles me. It was spoken about of this young man. It was spoken about that he would never again return to his land. He would never see it again. Scripture said, don't weep for them that are dead. Weep for them that are departing. Weep for those that are on the peripheral edge, the outward side of this, without the camp that are tending to lead towards the world. Oh, God, I wish that there was something in my mouth today that I could say with a voice lifted as a trumpet that would pierce the very heart of every carnal individual, every cold individual, every weak individual in the sound of my voice tonight that would somehow penetrate the hardness of the heart to where the heart could be opened up before God, and before God you could weep as if you were weeping for the very loss of your loved ones. Oh, if you could recognize the wooing and presence of God even in this very service tonight as God draws for you, there wouldn't be a moment that you would linger while I preach, that you would not say, shut up and let me go to my altar somewhere and seek God. The very first scripture that I read to you said, weep sore for him that goeth away, for he shall return no more, nor see his native land. But he shall die in the place whither they have led him captive, and shall see this land no more. Woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness, and his chambers by wrong. The scripture in the book of 1 Timothy, I believe it is, it says that he hath taken them captive as a snare at his own will. Oh, if we really recognize the power of our enemy tonight, you cannot linger near the peripheral edge of salvation and linger there long until the powers of darkness have so completely engulfed your thinking and led you captive at his own will, not so much by your own desires, but by his own will, because you strayed too far from Calvary, because you let your life get too far away from that weeping presence of God, where you can weep yourself back to Calvary. Oh, God, if we could but recognize today that we are parting the ways with God, and that on the edge of salvation we're playing with the things of the world, and in our very minds, even lately, we have allowed ourselves to become involved with things that are of the edge and the borderline. Oh, God, help us to raise our young people and our children strong in you. Lay aside the world. Lay aside everything that is in the world and young and old alike. I weep inside. I don't only weep for some that are here tonight, but I weep for some that are not. Within our midst are those that have just recently stepped towards the edge of the great gulf. Maybe you don't know everything that I know right at the present, but I only ask you to plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Weep for them. Weep for them. Weep for them. There is not a one in all the world that Jesus does not care for tonight. There is not a one of you tonight that Jesus does not care for. Not a one of you that He has not observed your life a few days ahead of you. There's not a one of you that God does not see what your tomorrows will be. Would to God that we could see our tomorrows, and maybe not, maybe we wouldn't want to. But oh God, if I could see my steps slipping, oh I wish that You would show my steps to me. So that if I begin to see my steps slipping from this great salvation, oh, that I could pull myself back to Calvary. Oh, that I could weep myself my way back to Calvary. Oh, that I could weep my way to Calvary. Oh, tonight as the Spirit of God is lingering and moving, would to God someone could weep their way back to Calvary. Don't weep for those that are dead, but weep for those that are leaving. Weep for those that are snared today, because the Scriptures tell us that there will be a day. He says, oh, you've done it again. You've come weeping to me. You've covered the altar with tears. The burden of your heart has been poured out again, but I'm tired of listening to it. I will not regard it anymore, and I will not do goodwill by it. Read it in the book of Malachi. He said, you've done it again. There is a time, my friend, that you will pray too long on the peripheral edge of salvation, out there where the great gulf is, and one of these days you'll be snared, where you'll never be able to weep your way back again. The Bible speaks of a man, an earthly man, Esau by name. Came a time in his life that he began to play with what he really possessed. I realize that you know this story, and it is an automatic story for this particular type of message, but bear with me tonight. This young boy in his life, while he was yet a young person, listen to me, while he was yet young, while he yet had a tender heart, while he yet had a heart that could be shaped and molded by God, while he had a heart that God would have said, I can use you. You're the great one in your family. You're the oldest one in your family. And the responsibilities of the religious leadership will fall upon your shoulders, Esau. Let me mold you. Well, Noah, his eyes was on the field somewhere out there where the game was and the hunting was. It was away from the religious part of their life. But something tells me about his brother that he was found somewhere before God, desiring things, important things of God. But the Scripture said after he gave his birthright away, after he gave his birthright away, and he lost the blessing at the death of his father, that he went and wept bitterly, 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 but he could not weep his way back. Oh, today we can weep our way to Calvary. Today we can pour ourselves out to God and weep our way to Calvary. I don't know how long it'll be. I don't know when the day of the Gentiles are over. I don't know when God's going to say it's all over, Gentiles. I don't know when it'll be, but I know this. Today we can weep our way to Calvary. Oh, God, help us recognize the power that is in Your blood. I'm reminded of a story in the Word of the Lord. David was old and about to die. He
He lived a rich life in the Lord. He came to that point in his life when he was about to go. One of his sons, Adonijah by name, went to the captain of the host, Joab, and he said, "Joab, David's getting old and he hasn't named a successor yet, and he hasn't named anybody to sit on his throne. I'm the oldest boy and I'm going to take that position. Will you go with me? You're the captain of the host and you seem to know how to get the army in right control and organize the army right, and we can go together and back this thing up properly, and I can sit on the throne, and when he dies, there won't be a struggle, there won't be a fight for the kingship, and the people won't be separated, and they won't be destroyed, and there'll be a king. Doesn't that sound good?" Joab says, "Sure, but we need a priest." So they went to Abiathar, and Abiathar they found in a ready mood also, and they said, "Abiathar, we need a priest. Adonijah is going to be king, and Joab's going to be the captain of the host, and Abiathar, would you be the priest?" "Sure, I'll be the priest." So they went and they got all the animals that they could gather and muster together, and they slay them and begin to prepare a meal. And the word goes out throughout the land, Adonijah is king and is ruling now in the seed of David, and David's getting old. But it was not the will of the Lord. You see, before this, David had already spoken to one of his wives, and he had said, "Solomon's going to be the king of Israel. The Lord has spoken to me that Solomon is going to be king." And so in the heart of Solomon and in the heart of his mother, there was a little sick feeling. But as they began to ponder what they must do, they found the answer. They would go in to King David. While David was yet alive, they would have David anoint Solomon king. And there the priest Zadok would anoint him king. And he would be king. And he would ride on the animal of the king. He would ride on his own animal. And he would relinquish the throne to him immediately. And so it was done. But any time there is a struggle like this, there is the loss of life. There is the loss of those leaders that was trying to change the will of God and change the mind of God. And so when Solomon was brought to the throne and placed as king, he of course was placed on the animal that belonged to the king. The scripture said, David said to his servants, "Go get my mule and put Solomon on my own mule and let him ride through the streets of the city and bring him back and I'll place him upon my throne and I'll let him sit there." When this was noised abroad and the people began to hear that Solomon was anointed by Zadok the priest and King David himself had sanctioned it and had spoken so positively about it that their hearts was automatically turned to Solomon because that was the will of the Lord. And when this was heard by Adonijah and by Joab and by Abiathar the priest, of course they were fearful because they expected to have it all sewed up and taken care of at the time when it would all take place. But they had forgotten the will of God and their fear gripped their heart and they left their little feast that they were having and began to run. But Adonijah, listen about this young man. Although he was older than Solomon, he learned something very, very important. That in the midst of his trouble, the Bible says that Adonijah was found with his arms grasped around the horns of the altar. And there he cried and said, "I'll not leave until Solomon says I can leave in peace." Oh, there's something about recognizing the will of God and really understanding the will of God and then weeping your way to Calvary until victory comes for you and the answer is already there. Adonijah was found weeping at the altar. His arms wrapped around. Oh, what the God we can weep all the way to Calvary. going to be all right, Saint. It's going to be all right. Oh, my friend, there's something important about weeping your way to Calvary. Something very breaking and molding and forming about weeping your way to Calvary. King sent word to Adonijah. Adonijah, you'll be all right. You're a good man. You misstepped a little bit. As long as you do well, you'll be all right. As long as your life is pure, you'll be all right. Let me just rephrase just a little bit of his life to you. It wasn't long until he went to his mother. And there he said, "Mother, you're the wife of the king. I have a petition to ask of the king." Solomon had already informed Adonijah where he must live and where he must stay and his bounds that he must live in. He had already spoken to him regarding ever trying to do anything out of the will of God again. So when his mother made her approach to the king, of course, being his wife, he opened the door to her. "What is it? What would you have?" She said, "Well, I want you to give me something, and I don't want you to tell me no." He says, "Oh, you're my wife. I'm not going to tell you no." She said, "I want you to give Abishag to be wife of Adonijah, and I want you not to tell me no." Solomon, being a wise man, knew what was in the mind of Adonijah. If he could break into the kingship somehow, he could destroy the will of God and break through. He said, "This is none other than Adonijah speaking through you. This is the word from his lips." And he said, "This day he'll die." I tell you what happened. He got away from the horns of the altar. He forgot the will of God for his life. Oh, friend, I'll never cease to warn you. I'll never cease to stand before you to stay in the will of the Lord. For once you get out of the will of the Lord and find yourself on the outer edges and find yourself reaching for something that is not yours and does not belong to you, you'll find yourself without the mercy of God.
Don't leave
God. There is that opportunity. You can weep your way to Calvary even tonight. Joab had already done some things that was contrary to the king. He was in the position of overthrowing Solomon's reign. He also went to the horns of the altar. He also bowed down and grabbed a hold of the horns of the altar. Read it in your Bible. You'll find that he got down there. He'd already out of the will of God praying 2 years. His aspirations were completely out of the will of the king and the will of God. But he bowed himself this day out of fear. Hang it all out. Many times. He had already committed too many acts. and there was no forgiveness left. This scripture said, I will not regard your tears anymore. You covered the altar with your tears. They're poured out on the altar. But I won't regard them anymore. Oh, young person, old person, middle-aged person, mother, father, son or daughter, while God in His presence is here, you can weep your way to Calvary. Would you ask His mercy to rest here tonight? Hallelujah. 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 If ever have I felt the presence of the Almighty God in a place, I feel Him tonight. Never have I ever wanted to deliver the burden of my heart. I want to deliver the burden of my heart tonight while someone can weep their way to Calvary. Oh Lord, open down my lips, and my mouth shall show forth Thy praise. For Thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite spirit, Thou wilt not despise. In heaviness of heart and anguish of soul, the trials that beat on the soul of man, even in the hour that we live. The only victory 2 weeks ago, this Sunday night, I preached to this great church a message that I felt on God. And that was a message that God has prepared a victory. But this is the answer to it, my friend. The only victory you'll find is after you've wept your way to Calvary. This is the answer to that message that I preached, that you must weep your way to Calvary for the victory that's coming to your soul. Brother Leon, I can't see the victory. My life right now is torn. My life is torn. How long has it been that you've wept your way to Calvary? Victory's not in sight. I cannot see the way. I cannot see victory. It's too dark. My friend, you don't belong sitting in your seat. You need to weep your way to Calvary. What is your need tonight? What is your need tonight? And what would you claim as a victory if you were asked to claim a victory tonight? What would you ask? Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, as Rachel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. Oh, you say, what does that have to do with me? Let me break it down a little bit for you. This scripture, first of all, talks about a lamentation, a weeping, a mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted. Hannah wouldn't be comforted in the temple. She was there weeping as though she was drunk when Eli came to her and said, woman, why won't you get away from wine? She says, I'm not with wine. I want something from God. Oh, tears mean so much to God. Tears mean so much to God. Here Rachel is weeping for her children. And the Lord says, weep no longer. You are rewarded for your weeping. There is hope in thine end that your children will come again to their borders. But that victory will not come to you unless you weep somewhere your way to Calvary for them. It will not come sitting down and relaxing. You want victory in your home. It will not come until you weep your way to Calvary. You want your children saved. It will not happen until you weep your way to Calvary. I've cried already. Well, have you cried to the Lord? Told you to stop.
You don't want your children saved. You don't want your loved ones saved. You don't want your husband saved until you've learned to weep your way to Calvary. Oh, God, help us tonight to recognize the power that is at Calvary. Where there we would weep our way. And there, in anguish of soul, in bitterness, we would cry until Jesus Himself would say, oh, daughter, quit your weeping. Father, quit your weeping. Mother, quit your weeping. You've weeped your way to Calvary. It'll happen just as you have asked. Oh, would to God we would know what it was to linger in prayer and linger in weeping and linger in crying. Then the victories will come. Then there will be the overcoming spirit. But only till we weep our way to Calvary. Hallelujah. The hope of it all, my friend, is learning to weep your way to Calvary within the hearts of those that have gathered tonight. There are those needs and those victories that you want. My friend, you'll never get them until you weep your way to Calvary. Forget about it. You can stand and say in prayer request, would you pray for this or would you pray for that? But until you weep your way to Calvary, it won't happen, my friend. God honors tears. He honors a broken spirit. Oh, I'm in the midst of a problem. I am so torn up. I am so torn betwixt and between. I don't know what to do. I wish I could talk to somebody, and yet I'm scared to talk. Well, let me tell you what to do, my friend. Weep your way to Calvary! There's not another individual in all the world that can help you like Jesus at Calvary. Why be stubborn? And why be bullheaded? Why not just humble yourself and weep your way to Calvary? There's where the problems are solved. In tears, God saw Hannah's need. In tears, He saw Rachel's needs. In tears, He'll see your need, my friend, if you can weep your way to Calvary. No, it's too hard to weep. I'll tell you when it's easy to weep, and that's when the Lord's taken them. But He said, don't weep for them when they're dead. Weep for those that are yet alive and can still be drawn to Me. Do you have a lost boy or girl tonight? Do you have a lost husband tonight? Do you have someone you want to see saved? I wonder if you could weep your way to Calvary. I wonder how bad you want it done. Would you weep your way to Calvary? You want an answer from God? I wonder if you'd weep your way to Calvary. How bad do you want it done? Enough to get out of your seat and weep your way to Calvary, or sit where you are and suffer the abuse of it? Oh no, I want to weep my way to Calvary. Would there be anybody tonight that would weep their way to Calvary? Would there be anybody tonight that has a need that would take it to the throne of God and stand up from your seat right now and say, I'm taking this problem to God and weeping my way to Calvary? Oh, God, help us tonight. God, help us tonight. Weep your way to Calvary. Weep your way to Calvary. Weep your way to Calvary. Oh, there's where the answer is. Fall out before God tonight. Weep your way to Calvary. Weep your way to Calvary. There you'll find an understanding God. There you'll find God ready for the answer. Oh, God, hallelujah. Oh, God, hear the cries of your children. God, hear the cries of your children. Weep your way to Calvary. Weep your way to your children. Bottle up the tears of your children, oh God. Oh God, hear the cries of your children. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hey, shalom, stand by now, my compadre. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.